please take your Bibles and open up to the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 24, we'll go all the way to the end. This is God's holy word. Therefore, whoever hears the sayings of mine and does them, I will like him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Grass withers, the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Let's pray. Gracious Father, prepare our hearts to hear what you have to say to us, that Christ may be proclaimed clearly, that Christ may affirm our faith, that he be our true anchor, our true foundation upon which our life and faith rests on completely. Father, this work is impossible without your Spirit, or it doesn't matter what I say, but Lord, it is through your Spirit that brings life to the words that are in this book, that come from the mouth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Humble us now. May we receive your word today and have it find a home in our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Saints of God, this is the final warning that Jesus gives to conclude his Sermon on the Mount. And in each of these warnings, you'll note how clear and unambiguous Jesus is being. Jesus points out that there are only two roads, only two roads. One leads to eternal life, the other one leads to eternal death. You're either on one road or the other. There's no third, fourth, or fifth road. There are two types of teachers. There's a false teacher and a true teacher, a teacher that leads you to truth. There are only two types of followers, the fake followers and the genuine followers of Christ. And fourthly, there are only two foundations upon which we can build our life, one made of rock and the other made of sand. You will also note that on the surface, each of these sides look very similar. The broad road appears to be a better road. The false teachers appear to be true since they are wearing sheep's clothing. They look and act and walk like a sheep. These false followers appear on the outside that they are genuine Christians. Both of these houses appear to be safe, to be well-built, well-structured. But what matters is what we find beneath the surface. In this case, it doesn't matter how the house looks on the outside. What matters is what is underneath the house. What is the foundation of your life today? What does your heart treasure the most in this life? What drives your life? What shapes your priorities? What shapes your character? What provides you the greatest comfort and security in this life? Again, what is your life built on today, beloved of Christ? Not what you think your life is built on. And so we notice that each of these warnings call us to examine ourselves honestly. Not by how we perceive ourselves or how others perceive us, but how we actually are, where we actually stand. Because the foundation that you trust today will be the same foundation that you will trust on that day. God will reveal where your trust truly lies when the storms of your life come, and ultimately when you stand before Him in judgment. Beloved in Christ, will your house stand? Only one foundation will endure and keep you safe. So my charge, my theme for you is this, beloved of Christ, stand upon Jesus as the foundation of your salvation and life, while denying all other foundations that will be destroyed on the day of judgment. So I will break this into 3 points. But the wise builder, the foolish builder, and wisely following Christ's authority. So let's begin in verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Now, these words may be familiar to you in another portion of Scripture. James 1, who says, but be doers of the word and not only hearers. Because otherwise, you're deceiving yourselves. So, Jesus comes to the conclusion of his Sermon on the Mount, and there are hosts of people around him. And there are his followers, but there are also non-believers as well. And they all, on the surface, look alike, spiritually speaking. They're all listening. They're at the feet of Jesus. And they're hearing what he has to say. But the point of this sermon is not just to be a hearer. Oh, these are some nice things that I can take and implement them in my life to be a better person. I can pick and choose what Jesus has to say. No, Jesus says, you must hear my words, but you also must do my words. You must be doers of my word. You cannot say that I follow Christ and yet you don't love his word. They do not go hand in hand. There is something significantly missing in that sentiment. That I follow Jesus my way. Me and Jesus have our own thing going. We got an agreement. I do my part, he does his part. As long as he keeps my life under these certain circumstances, he gives me these things, then I will continue to follow him. There is no 50-50 business type relationship that we have with Jesus. He says, you must hear my words and you must be doers of my words. And as we noticed or noted last time in quoting John 14, when Jesus says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. You cannot separate the two. And the evidence will prove itself when the storms of your life come. And that's really what this situation is about. Now, both of these houses, these builders, have built their house on the same terrain, under the same circumstances, and they both appear to be fine. But the true test of whether any of those houses will stand is not about how they look on the outside, but what is underneath, as we stated earlier. It is what lies in the foundation. And what will reveal the foundation is this image here that Jesus brings. Not when everything is going well, not when every day is like sunny California, but when our faith is rocked, when we are met with adversity, when we are met with trials, when we are met with temptations, when we are pulled out of our comfort zone, that will test what is underneath, what lies underneath the house of your life. Because each and every one of us are building something. We're building up our life to be under in a certain way. We live our life in a certain way. We follow an authority, whether it's our authority or Christ's authority. But we are following and we are building our lives currently, right here, right now, as we move and live and breathe. And this image of what will take place, that this wise man who built his house upon the rock, in verse 25 says, and the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. I lived in the Midwest for 3 years, and I don't miss the snow, but I do miss the change of seasons, but I also miss the thunderstorms. You don't get very many here. I've lived here almost all my life, and I've maybe a handful of thunderstorms, and then, even then, they weren't that impressive. But over there in the Midwest, or anywhere else really, by the waters, because we had lake effect weather, you really feel the fear of God in you when you hear the cracking of the thunders and lightning. These are bone-rattling sounds. They shake you. They make your heart skip a beat. And I also remember when I was in North Carolina, having one of these storms over there, and they're very, very prone to, at least where I was, are very prone to high winds and hurricanes. And thankfully, I didn't have to go through an actual hurricane, but I was by the coast, and you hear the rain just pouring down, and it just gets so loud, it's hard for you you to hear yourself think, and you see the waves of the ocean just being tumultuous. Man, I wouldn't want to be there. It's just unrelenting, just nonstop. The wind's blowing, the rain's pouring down, and if your house isn't built on the right foundation, it will crumble. The thing is with this image is that both houses, both builders, I should say, are confident in their foundation. I'm actually moving on to the next point in the foolish builder now. Because the foolish builder, the reason why he is foolish is because he has no foresight. He thinks in the here and the now. The wise builder does have that foresight, knows what's coming or what will come, and prepares appropriately. But the foolish man doesn't think about what's going to happen or what might happen. And that's the case for a lot of people, the many who are on the broad path. No one in the broad path thinks that they're going to end in destruction. Everyone believes that they're going to heaven. But the wise man builds his house upon a rock. The foolish man only thinks about the here and the now and the future, whatever. It doesn't matter. It matters how I build my life now, how to get my best life now. And these two houses endure the same exact conditions, the same storms, the same rattling, the same destruction, or at least the same threat of destruction, with these rains and with these tumultuous conditions. But when the foolish man understands that his house will not hold up, it will be too late. And I think God tests us in our life, throughout our life, with trials and temptations. Perhaps even when he takes away your health, he takes away your comforts, he takes away, it makes things challenging for you financially. And then you really see where your faith is at. It's not when everything is peachy. But each of those moments are just small examples of what ultimately will take place in the true test of your foundation. The true test of your life will ultimately be on Judgment Day. So Jesus is very clearly pointing us to examine our hearts, examine our lives about what is our foundation? What is our trust? Are we like this foolish man? Or are we like this wise man? Well, how do we know? I mean, everybody believes that they're probably they're the wise person. We're not going to end up like the other guy. How do we know? What Jesus says in the beginning, you are hearers and you are doers of my word. But isn't that just more of moralism? Isn't that just more, just being good and doing good enough and we have to earn our way to heaven? No, that's not what Jesus is saying at all. Because the point is not about the house. The point is the foundation where your life is built upon. And as we follow the word of Christ, the reality is that it is impossible to live for Christ from our hearts, expressing these beatitudes that Christ began with being poor in spirit, with being mourning over our sin, with being meek, with hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Each of these characteristics is only made possible by the supernatural work of God, by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because the one who thinks that he can just muscle his way and just be a good enough person will ultimately fail. Because their trust is in themselves. The one who does the will of God, the one who does the word of Christ, are the ones who are poor, who say, I am empty-handed. I am spiritually bankrupt. I have nothing in myself to gain God's favor. Each of these characteristics belong to those who follow the kingdom of God. Those who have entered into a relationship with your heavenly Father that no one else can claim. That there is true fellowship between you and your Father in heaven. that you're not doing your life, you're not doing these things for the sake of other people and how they perceive you. I want them to look at my life at a certain way. No, you're doing it for your Father who is your audience of one. You're doing it for His glory. Your life is shaped by the priorities of God that He has spelled out for us in the Lord's Prayer. That your desire is to hallow His name, that your desire is for His kingdom to be expanded, that your desire is for His will to be done. This is not the language of an unbeliever. These are not desires of those who build their house upon sand. Leaning, depending upon God, even for our daily bread, for our forgiveness, for our protection from the evil one. How we give, how we pray, how we interact with one another. All of these are marked by the character of those who belong in the kingdom, which is impossible for an unbeliever to express or live out. And all of this, once again, will be revealed. And it's not a guessing game. It's not a guessing game. Because you either know Christ or you don't know Christ. Either you're fooling yourself and depending on your works and your efforts to gain God's favor, or you are completely and utterly dependent and acknowledging how empty your hands are before Him, for Him to forgive you, for Him to bring you in to fellowship with Him, because salvation is all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And on that day, there will be many whose houses are built upon sand, and it will fall. And great was its fall. These are people who are going to be moral people, religious people, spiritual people. Good people. But they're self-deceived. Because they're not placing their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him alone. We must follow Christ's authoritative word. And as He concludes His sermon and goes in, and we hear about the response of these people in the crowd, in verse 28, it says, "And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at His teaching. He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Why were they amazed? I'm going to give you four quick reasons why these people were amazed and why we should stand amazed as well at Christ's word. First of all, Jesus did not present in His sermon to be one interpretation among many. The scribes did that. They did that quite a bit. Rabbi Ben-Hamin said that the law means this, but Rabbi Hillel disagrees with that interpretation for these reasons. And on these discourses would go, arriving at no conclusion, always discussing, always bringing things up. But Jesus spoke definitively. This is the meaning of the law. I am here to fulfill the law and all righteousness. Secondly, the corrupt traditions of the scribes have been exposed. You have heard that it was said on how to keep these commandments. But I tell you this, I say to you. And as he proclaimed the true meaning of the law, the heart of the law, he exposed these traditions to be nothing more than hypocritical, nothing more than empty words. Looking righteous is not the same as being righteous. What matters is the one who follow Christ's word from a heart that has been radically transformed by his grace and his mercy. The third reason why they were amazed is that Jesus dealt with matters of eternal importance. He didn't waste his time debating about all these insignificant topics like these scribes did. So this is your eternal life at stake here. And finally, they were amazed because he spoke in such plain terms, using simple, concrete examples to make his point clearly. In this sermon, he does not speak in riddles. He doesn't speak in vague generalities. Jesus does not say, "Make me Lord of your life." Jesus calls you and everyone to humble themselves to his words of authority. Christ is the one whom the entire world, Christian or not, must give an account on that day of judgment. Whether you're religious or non-religious, whether you're rich or poor, people from every country, people from every race, people of all ranks of authority must submit themselves to the authority of Jesus Christ. He is not one of many ways to salvation. He is the way. He does not just contain, his words do not just contain parts of the truth. His word is truth. He is the life. Every foundation that is not found upon Christ will be destroyed. You cannot have one foot in Christ and one foot somewhere else. Either both feet are on Christ or they are on sinking sand. Saints of God, be certain of what your foundation, where you are standing on today. Be certain of what foundation you are standing on today. Perhaps you may feel uncertain about your faith. You feel stretched. If we stretched out this illustration a little bit, and we liken our faith to the house that we are building on, maybe we feel like our faith is being held together barely, maybe by duct tape and bubble gum and Bondo for you construction guys. That our faith feels weak and fickle. But once again, saints of God, the house standing has nothing to do with how well the house looks or as actually built. Everything is about the foundation. So do not look to your performance for your assurance, because you're not going to find it there. In fact, you will never find it there. Jesus is not saying or calling us to try harder until we find assurance. Rather, he says, stand upon the rock and rest upon your Lord Jesus Christ. Rest in his perfect sacrifice that washes away all of your sin by faith. The judgment that belonged to you was paid on the cross of Calvary. Rest on his perfect righteousness. Look to the strength of his life to find strength in yours. That he met all of God's righteous commandments, all of his demands. That you stand upon his perfect life. That when you place both feet on this foundation, you will build your life upon his word, not only as hearers, but also as doers. When Christ is your foundation, every trial, every storm will only prove to draw you closer to Christ. Every trial will ultimately lead you to triumph. Jesus says, and we'll conclude with this, in John 10, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Congregation, seek the voice of your Lord Jesus Christ and follow his word with your heart. With him as your foundation, nothing will cause your faith or your life to fall. The greater the trial, the greater you will see just how firm the foundation truly is. On the day of judgment, your heart will be rattled, but Christ is your solid rock. And because of that, you will stand. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we fall upon you. We are aware of how weak and frail we truly are. But as the psalmist say, you know our weakness. You know our frailty. You know that we are dust. You know that our faith is easily shaken. That only those who have the Spirit of God will endure, because your Spirit will not let us fail. Your Spirit will always bring us back to our foundation, that is Jesus Christ, pointing us to him, to his perfect sacrifice, to his perfect righteousness, to all of what he has done for us, filling us with his grace and his love. Always pulling us back. And so, Lord, this is the truth that we can stand upon, that we may have our hearts reassured again and again that it's not in us, but we stand upon the rock of Jesus Christ, who is our refuge. Lord, help us to continually look to Christ to be our refuge in our times of trouble. Gracious God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.